Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here, back with another episode of Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. with Celeste Hackett. How you doing, Celeste?
Hey, Cal. I'm just over here in Dallas, Texas, just waiting for you to quit talking so I can talk.
Hey, well, I might just start talking and not stop. How would you feel about that?
We're always trying to hog the microphone and the camera, aren't we?
Yeah. Hey, let's see. I want to talk about what we're going to talk about. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, one of the first things we're going to talk about is this client that this hypnotist has in Houston who, when he was counting him up, counting rather the feeling up before regressing on that feeling, the client just started choking and she started grabbing at her throat and he didn't know what to do. So that's one of the first things we're going to address. And I also want to talk about this this other embarrassing question that a female hypnotist has about kind of feeling like her heart fluttered when this guy came in that she had to actually work with. And she wanted to know what to do with that because she felt kind of giddy because he was so cute. So this is going to be an interesting show today, Cal.
Well, you know, I want to tell everybody that when you hear about what we're going to talk about, I'm hearing what we're going to talk about because just to keep the show interesting, I said, Celeste, I don't want to know what we're going to talk about until I hear it from your lips right there on camera. So, you know, I think that'll help keep things more spontaneous and it'll help to maybe make me quicker so I don't overthink it. All right, hit me with one of those questions, Celeste.
Okay, this first question is from the 5 and 7th Path group message board. The guy's name is Art Runzo. He's in League City, Texas. I actually made a phone call to him to make sure he didn't mind me putting the question on, because on Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc., because I just wanted to talk to him for a little while and see if I understood it right. And he's a real nice guy. Hi, Art. In League City, Texas. And here's the way the question goes. He says, I have a question concerning ab reactions. I had a client the other day that had an ab reaction that I had not experienced before. As we were heading back to the ISC, she reached up and grabbed the front of her neck as if she couldn't breathe because of a throat constriction. Are throat constrictions like this actual constrictions, or are they something that are perceived as being constricted but actually not? Well, it made him real nervous, and he emerged her from hypnosis, and then they discussed it. He said, but he really was tempted to take her back and see where this whole thing started. He was just a little concerned as to what this was and why the sudden physical sort of attack that she had. I called him and I asked him, I said, when did this feeling come on? He said, well, as I was counting from 1 to 5, I said, there's a feeling inside you that has everything to do with this problem. And then she started grabbing at her throat. And I said, could she talk? And he said, yes. I said, could she breathe? And he said, yes. Cal, you take it from there.
Well, I think what you suggested was just right. But, you know, when something unexpected happens during a session, you know, never happened before, you're going to maybe be surprised. And I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, this is not brain surgery, and that you know, you can recover from things that you've done. And if someone is appearing to be choking, then I would I'd ask them, you know, can you breathe? And then if they can breathe, then I would just get into the age regression. It's hard to make a backseat a Saturday quarterback kind of decision here, because there's a lot of information that comes from viewing the client. If I believe what's going on from what I'm seeing is the client is reliving an event then from the past, then I know by virtue of the fact that my client has come and seen me after the event that my client lived through it, and so there's really no danger there. But it doesn't hurt to say, you know, can you breathe? Can you hear me? And then I just get right into it and ask the fabulous 5 questions. Celeste, you remember what the fabulous 5 questions are?
Yes, I absolutely do. I have them ingrained. The first one is, what's happening? What does that make you think? What's that got you feeling? How old are you? And is that familiar, that feeling, or is it new? Familiar like, oh boy, here we go again. Or new like, wow, this is a surprise.
That's really great, yeah. And I would just find out what's happening. What you see, one of the things that makes age regression so powerful is because they're reliving the event. And if you just talk about what you were thinking when you were five, or if I asked you what you were feeling when you were five, you'd be suppositioning. I suppose this, I suppose that. But if you go back to an earlier time, be it 2 years ago or 20 years ago when you were 2 years younger, or when you were 2 years old, when you relive it, you really have access to the part of the brain that stores that information about what you were thinking and what you were feeling. And it is that which you were thinking and that which you were feeling that are contributing to the problem, and we're going to address that in the informed child technique. So if the client looks like they're revivifying and not just choking in my chair, if I think they're choking in my chair right now, and then I would certainly do whatever needs to be done to make them safe right now. But if they're reliving a past event, then I know that they lived through it and that the client's in no real danger, and I would just get right into the five fabulous five questions, or fantastic five. I forget which I call it both, actually, fabulous five and fantastic five, and find out what's going on. What are they thinking? What are they feeling? Is it familiar or new? And how old are they? And then just start following you that affect bridge or symptom bridge right on back. Let me clarify some terms. ISC stands for initial sensitizing event. And what else kind of technical term did you use there, Celeste?
Abreaction.
Abreaction. Abreaction means to fully or strongly express an emotion now that really belongs to the past. So if you had a real dreadful experience in the past and you became really upset about it, maybe you were really mad or you were really sad, and it really did not get expressed then and it gets expressed now. For example, you're in an age regression and those feelings come through, then that's an abreaction. And really, that in and of itself, many therapists and many hypnotists would tell you, is a very healing experience. Does that help out, Celeste?
Yeah, that helps out a lot. And, you know, sometimes I think it would be nice if we had a name for that part of the age regression session where we count up the feeling. I guess we could call it the counting up of the feeling. Because there's regression happening many times throughout the session. That's the first jump back, and then you regress further and further and further. Anyway, it's just something that I think about sometimes.
Yeah, and you know what we're trying to do also, as you're talking about it, I'm thinking about how we really want to identify ourselves as an independent profession, separate from psychologists and psychiatrists and all that kind of thing. And we're really developing our own vocabulary, and we're trying to now get away from words like therapy and that kind of thing, because, gosh, the doctors and the psychologists, they want to keep that for themselves. So I'm encouraging our graduates and anybody else that will listen to me to start talking about age regression work, parts work, forgiveness work, because that's what we do. We work with our clients, and so start using those kind of terms. And I would
even the word regression. Here in Texas, when I talk to my clients about it, I say a significant review of events in the past, because that's also, correct me if I'm wrong, a psychological word.
Regression?
Is it not?
I don't know if it's a psychological word or not. A lot of these words, you know, they belong in vocabulary, but before, I mean, the psychologist got them somewhere, and you know, I've got a master's degree in psychology, and I was not under the impression that the word regression, it just means to go back. So, I don't know. We could call it the going back work if we want.
Well, good. Then I'll just say that's what we do then. I guess I'll double check just to be sure. I think the NGH had a little booklet or something they sent out, and that was what they recommended. But anyway. Back to this guy in League City, Texas. When I went to find him so that I could just call and talk to him, I went right to his website because there was a link from the message board. And he didn't know it, but he did not have his phone number anywhere on his website. All he had was an email address. I had to call directories assistance to find him. And so when I called him, I asked him, you know, did you know that your phone number's not on your website? And he said, no, I didn't know that. I think he just put this website up. But You know, I had just my phone number on my very first page of my website for a long time, and I think it's a good idea to make sure that you have your, you know, go back and check, because sometimes it's the obvious things we forget, and I would put my phone number on every page now. That's what I've done, and it's helped me get more people ringing my phone. Just a little side note there.
You know, I think that's a good idea, Celeste. Sometimes when people start talking internet, they stop talking common sense. And a lot of people, they'll find your site through Google, and they won't always land at the index page. You know, they'll land on other pages, and having your phone number there makes a lot of sense, and email and all that stuff.
Well, the next question is from a lady who got real embarrassed to ask this, a hypnotist that was feeling uncomfortable, just felt she had to ask. She said, I recently have been working with more male clients, and a couple of weeks ago I had a new male client who was a very handsome man. And I found myself feeling kind of giddy, kind of like a schoolgirl throughout the whole session. I don't know if he really noticed or not. I hope he didn't. By the time the second session came around, I had adjusted, and I wasn't so giddy but more professional, thank goodness. Is this what you mean by transference? Did he remind me subconsciously of a boyfriend or something? Should I have immediately referred him out even though I did get over it? Have other helping professionals had this experience? Did I do the right thing?
Wow, that's an interesting question. Where'd you pull that one from?
This is a question that I actually found a little bit, I think it was from the past, from the regression group, from the 5th and 7th path regression group.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, I'm going to be happy to answer that. But I want to talk about something else first. I like to be full of surprises. I'm going to actually finish what I was talking about in the last episode. Remember I promised that that I'd talk about a hypnotherapist that got into a famous person's magazine?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to forget that. So I'm thinking about it now, and I want to talk about Debbie Papadakis. She's, I think she's in Canada, and she just got an article in, you know, Oprah magazine. Isn't that amazing?
Isn't she the lady who's really good with insomnia issues?
Yeah, I think so. She was at the Solid Gold Weekend with me last year, I think it was.
Oh, I think that's just cool. Congratulations, Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie, if you hear this, congratulations. That's a really great thing. When people like Debbie and others get on in those big magazines and do a good job, they really help out the profession a great deal. And maybe even more importantly, they help to bring hypnosis into the consciousness of the public so that we can help more people. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's just bringing into awareness what hypnosis can do and what it's all about. And it just makes it more like something that people might be, you know, more interested in checking out. I mean, Oprah is so famous. Anything she says, people want to go see what it is. Like her book club is a good example of getting exposure with her means that you're definitely coming into the mainstream, coming into your own.
So, Celeste, would you like to be on Oprah someday?
I'd be terrified, but yes.
I know. I would just sit there and cry, I think.
I would love it.
I would, tears run down my face, and I know they'd just have to give me 5 minutes, and then I'd be fine, because I'd just be so overwhelmed with the whole thing.
I bet you wouldn't be the first one.
All right, so you're back to your question. I just wanted to get that in before I forgot about it. So we got this female hypnotist, and Mr. Gorgeous walks in, and she starts getting all these feelings that have nothing to do with the kind of work that he came in to have done. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
And she managed to get her way through it, and she, despite having all these fluttery feelings inside of her, like she was 16 again, she did it well enough to where he came back for another session. And is this transference? It could be. Let's talk a little bit about transference. Transference is when either the hypnotherapist or the client begins to have feelings or tends to behave towards someone in a way that just hasn't got anything to do with what they're doing. For example, sometimes the stereotypical thing where the client falls in love with the hypnotherapist or the counselor or the doctor and that kind of thing. And this kind of stuff happens sometimes. And if you're going to school for counseling or psychology or psychiatry, you spend a lot of time talking about transference. And this is what I tell people in class, is that, you know, really the kind of work that we do, particularly as five-path hypnotherapists, is brief work. And we're typically going to see someone 4 to 6 sessions on average. And there's not a lot of time there for the client's positive transference towards us to develop enough to where they would really start to act on it. And the hypnotherapist, I say, boy, you know what, if it does start to come up in those first, you know, few sessions, 4 or 5 sessions, or even later on, let's say the client came in for stop smoking, and you saw them a couple sessions or a few sessions, and they came back for weight loss, you saw them for 4, 5, 6, 7 sessions, and they come back, it's working so good, they want to work on their public speaking, and then they want to work on some kind of other anxiety, and all of a sudden you're starting to see them 16, 20 sessions, then it greatly increases the probability that this transference phenomenon come on, they can start to feel attached to you romantically and that kind of thing. And the first strategy that I recommend is to just ignore it. And act like you haven't got a clue that it's even happening. And a lot of times that'll get you through a few sessions and maybe you can finish up the work you're going to do. And but then if it becomes more obvious, then you need to talk to them and say, you know, that you're prohibited by ethics and maybe even laws where you're practicing to become involved, and that the only way you can continue to help them is if they keep that in mind. And then if they're unable to keep that in mind and continue to have it on a professional relationship, then you're going to just have to refer them out to someone else. So that can happen. But that's not really what this hypnotherapist is talking about. She's talking about her feelings and feeling giddy, a little bit unprofessional. Now, what people have to understand is that if you keep your mouth closed and you don't say oops, or you don't say gosh, I'm feeling kind of giddy, you're so cute, you know, that kind of thing, then people really aren't as aware of what's going on inside of you as you might think they are. And he might have just thought you were in a good mood that day or something. And whatever it was, you didn't mention it, you didn't make a big deal of it, you proceeded doing with what you're supposed to do, and the client came back to see you again. So keep that in mind. If you're feeling nervous with a client, or you're feeling more attracted to them, or you're feeling giddy or whatever it is, then just don't bring it up, and you probably will settle down somewhere in the session or by next session, and everything will be fine. How about you, Celeste? What would you do if you're in that kind of situation?
Well, I've had that happen, and I just, like you say, ignore it and it goes away. It usually doesn't last very long. And sometimes it can be a feeling of just an uncomfortable feeling that, and it can be very vague or somewhat intense. It might just be the feeling that just for a minute you don't like them. Or I've even had a part of me that is my radio training part come out and try to be entertaining. And then I have to get that under control because it's not about that. You know, if I find somebody who really is somebody who likes to laugh, you know, I'm middle child in a family where that's the way I got attention. Well, that's something that I have to be aware of. And when I first started doing this, you know, I was a little bit more of an entertainer than I needed to be. So I think we all try to, kind of like a bowling ball going down the alley, you try to keep yourself between the gutters as well as helping the client get there where they need to be. So those are my random thoughts on it.
Well, I think we pretty well covered that. I think if anyone has any more questions about that, they could email us and let us know, or leave it in the comments section of calbanion.com underneath this entry on the site. How's that?
I think that's fantastic. Are about ready to wrap up?
No, I want to talk about something else.
Okay.
Me and Celeste, we got this thing, you know, we decided that we were just going to leave a lot of room in here for us to talk about what we want to talk about, as long as we can keep it reasonably within schedule. I want to talk about some topics that I'm thinking about doing in upcoming episodes, and I've got them here on my computer screen. You might notice me looking down here. Sometimes I'm looking down at my computer screen, and some of my topics that I want to talk about would be, should doctors take over hypnosis? And as a subtitle, it would be, when was the last time your doctor spent an hour with you? Here's another one. Who do hypnotists work with? And should they work with mentally ill people? And here's another one. Is it time for a hypnosis organization that is one hypnosis organization for the whole world? Here's another one. What is the difference between a hypnotist, a counseling hypnotist, a consulting hypnotist, a hypnoanalyst, and a hypnotherapist? I think there's a lot of confusion out there on that, and I'd like to talk about that. Here's another one. What is the most important and most powerful hypnosis technique available to the hypnotist? I got a couple more here. Let's see. Is hypnosis and sleep related? And if your client goes to sleep during a session, is it okay to just let them snore away? And let me get one more in here. Is hypnosis effective with working with addictions and chronic illness? What do you think of those topics there, Celeste?
I think those are fantastic. Email them to me. I'll pretend they're mine.
Oh, here's another one. Are there any real PhDs or doctorate degrees in hypnosis being given out today in the United States of America? Oh, I got a couple more here real quick. Does past life regression have a place in professional hypnotism? And finally, what is the number one most important factor determining whether a new hypnotist is successful in his or her practice? How's that sound?
I think that since you made me promise that I would be at the NGH next August, that you need to promise me we'll cover every one of these.
Hey, you know what? I'm all for it. You know, I just did a little brainstorming before the session. And, what was I going to say? Oh, well. I guess I'll have to save it for next episode. We'll wrap it up there, Celeste.
I like it when you have a blonde moment and you're not even blonde, Cal. Okay, well, that's about it. It was really fun, and we're going to have more wonderful topics and great questions. You can post your question at askcal.rhypnospace.com. If you have any ideas for the show, we want to hear what they are. This is your show. We're here for you. Our goal is to help you go full-time and make money and be very good in this profession. I'm Celeste Hackett in Dallas, Texas, with Family First Hypnosis. And Cal, you say bye this time.
I'm out here in Tustin, California, and I'm CalBanyan.com, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing, Incorporated. All rights reserved for private use only. It may not be duplicated without written permission.